Wonderful song. How many of you remember your own baptism? See, a lot of us, I mean, I do because I wasn't raised in the type of church we're in, but a lot of us don't. But let me ask you another question. How many of you remember your own birth? I got one hand, bless him, Lord. I don't know if your mother travailed over that or not, but but you're here, so it's obviously you were born. Equally. You're here. It was obvious that you were baptized. You know, in the CEC, and again, I got to remind you, this is the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time that God came and stood as man in the waters of redemption. You know that the CEC, we celebrate both infant and adult baptisms. It's either or, not and, both. What we need to understand is the importance when parents and godparents come and stand first before the altar and then at the font, that they are entering into vows to the Lord Most High. And we, as the church, are privileged to be a witness, a remembrance, if you will, to those vows. The parents vow to nurture their child in Christ's holy church. They vow to say, I'm going to bring this son, this daughter, up in the church. They vow that by their teaching, not the church teaching here, but by their teaching and example, that their child will be guided to accept not only God's grace, but a profession of faith of their own. The parents vow to profess their faith publicly, openly, without shame, and thereby to lead a Christian life. Now, one of the things I'm getting to understand just a little bit is God takes vows very seriously. When I was at the, in Protestant terms, the age of accountability, or whatever that meant, and I was baptized, we made vows. God never forgot them. Though I violated them, God always reminded me. I understood the David in his Psalms is, where can I go and hide from you? If I go to the depths of Sheol, you're there. If I go into the highest of heights, you're there. If I hide in the dark, darkness is as light to you. See, when we make a vow before God, he counts it as done to us. And he will not quickly let it go. So the parents make a vow. The church makes a vow. And you are witnesses to keep us priests accountable to our vows. We vow to the parents and to that child and to you that with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and we will live our lives according to the example of Christ. We vow that we will surround that child, as we hopefully do all believers, in a community of love and forgiveness that will make it possible for all of us to grow in God's grace and love. I say that this morning to start off because I want us to understand that being baptized is not as many in the world think it is. I get these calls. I want my child to be done. Well, 350 in an oven for about 5 hours and they're done. Is that what you mean? What they're wanting is their child to be baptized. There's a part of their bringing up that says their child needs to be baptized. They've never attended the church. They will not attend the church afterwards. They just want their child done. Very institutionalized. And we don't do children. We don't do adults. God holds our vows sacred. That's why in the scripture it says, don't make a vow. If you don't intend to do it, don't make a vow. God's going to hold us. And I stand before you today because of a vow of 13, which I so bruised and bent and dinged and twisted and forgot. But the Father never did. And in moments of my weakness, he would remind me. I can remember as well, I had this decision to make. And I said, well, I'm going to get my master's in social work because maybe he'll leave me the heck alone. Social work's a good thing. It's a ministry. You're poor as a preacher. You're poor as a social worker. He'll leave me alone. Guess what? He didn't. Now, if you're baptized as I was, as a child or a youth or an adult, it's then that you're making a decision to dedicate your life to Jesus. And your baptism is then an outward sign of an inward truth that you've made a commitment to Christ and you have been converted. Bust your bubble time. We as a church, I as your priest, I do not believe that baptism of an infant or adult saves us. It's not an act of salvation. It's an act of an outward sign of an inward truth that internally we have vowed to the Lord Most High. It is a sign and a symbol that follows but St. John used to say, repent and then be baptized. It's really repent, believe, and be baptized. Or believe and repent, but be baptized. Baptized is an outward sign of an inward truth. There's a book that I'm sure all of you have read. And if not, you've all heard about it. A book called The Hiding Place. It's by Corrie Ten Boom. And in it, she tells the story of a Dutch Christian family, her family, who had a heart for the Jewish people. Her grandfather, Wilhelm Ten Boom, started a prayer group in 1844 in his home for salvation of the Jews. This weekly prayer meeting continued uninterrupted into 1944, 100 years, and was only disbanded when the Ten Booms were sent to the concentration camps. Faithful. The grandfather, the father, faithful people of God. Well, Corrie tells a story of her father, Casper. Casper was raised up in this home that was doing a Bible study, praying for the salvation of the Jews. He knew nothing else. And at the point that the Jewish people, his friends, the people that he and his family had been praying for all his life, were caused by the German people to wear the Star of David. Caspar got in line to get a star. Now, he wasn't Jewish. He didn't have to have the star, but he wanted to so identify himself with the people for whom he and his family had been praying. He was prepared to be completely identified to the point that he would wear a star that was a symbol of shame, and he would suffer prosecution that was meant for another race. He didn't have to wear the star, but he chose to. People today ask, and have asked for thousands of years, why did Jesus, if he was the Son of God and sinless, why was he baptized? If baptism is confession, a repentance, and an act of an inward sign of an outward truth, why was Jesus baptized? He was perfect. And I believe the answer for Jesus is the answer for Caspar. He wanted to identify with us. He wanted to set the example. In Galatians, and this really is the scripture for today, I went away from the normal scriptures. Galatians 3, 23 through 29 says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive, or prisoners, under the law, imprisoned until faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardianship or supervision, for we are in Christ. For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise." Saints, there's some good meat here. There's some things that we need to understand that I think the church in many ways has kind of grossed over, but we need to understand we are heirs in Christ. I've all told you before that in this time, that an adopted son or daughter could not be disadopted. They had to receive an inheritance. A mother or father could kick their own kids out. But if they went through the process of adopting through the Roman courts, it was irreversible. Paul's letter to the Galatians was written at a time when the early church, the seekers of Christ, were still trying to live under the rule of the law and not under grace. I know none of us are ever guilty of wanting to rule, to live under the rule instead of grace. But there are three truths I want us to look at really quick in this passage. The first is that when we are in Christ, y'all have heard this from me before, we're His favored children. When we're in Christ, there's something you got to understand. All of us have a father. Jesus even said, talking to the Pharisees, "You do what your father has done," and that wasn't good, because it was the father was the devil. So we all have a father. But when we're in Christ, we're His favored children. How many of us act like favored children? Most of us, because of things said to us or done to us in our impressionable youth, and that's from the 9 months in the womb forward, because I believe things are shaped in the womb. The spirit of rejection can come from the womb. I've done inner healing with people whose mother went to abort them in the womb, and it marked them until the blood of Jesus was applied. So something happened to us in the past, and we don't quite believe that if we're heirs, then we're co-heirs with Christ. And we're already seated to the right hand of the Father. We're above our circumstances. I really appreciated that word this morning for me. It was very timely. So when we're in Christ, we're favored children. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty God. The Lord Almighty, actually, it's what it says. I'm adopted son of the Most High. But there's a key here that I want you to notice in what Paul is saying to the Galatians. He's using two concepts, and it's really important that we get both of them. The first one, he says, in Christ. For in Jesus Christ, you are all sons. In 2 Corinthians, it says sons and daughters. But you're all children of the faith in Christ. This is one of Paul's favorite sayings. In fact, he only uses it 83 times. In 13 letters. Just 83. Now I think the word says one or two times is testimony. Anyway. Okay. This addresses our total immersion into Christ. This is our baptism. If you're in Christ, if you are baptized in the faith in Jesus Christ, you're sons. The second one is what we don't get. And it is with Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. That becomes our identity. We're baptized. We're immersed into the Holy of Families. But now we're immersed. That talks about putting on a new clothing. Imagine for a moment, because I happened to watch some football last night. Imagine for a moment when the ex-Indianapolis Colts quarterback, Peyton Manning, after signing with the Denver Broncos. Imagine if at the beginning of this year he had showed up at his first game in Mile High Stadium as the Prince Charming, and he ran out on the field with all of the Broncos, and he was still wearing his Indianapolis Colts jersey. I think that would have created some conflict and some confusion as to who he was with. Guys, we make that same mistake when we try to act like the world, because we're with Christ. We are clothed with His clothing of righteousness. We are clothed with His clothing. We are overcomers. We're not rolling around any longer. As Father Scott said this morning, we're no longer nursing and rehearsing and dispersing the things that are going wrong, but we're calling on the name of Jesus, and then calling on the name of Jesus in the understanding that Jesus cares about us and He will answer us. Not always in our timing, but He always answers. See, it's our identification. I remember a number of years ago when I was having an issue with someone. And I said something a little awkward. Didn't come out as the way I want. I know you're not, y'all never have that problem, but you all know I do. And the statement that came back was, "And you call yourself a Christian." Meh, meh, meh. Guys, that's what we do in the world when we try to act our old selves, and yet we've been redeemed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. We've said we put on the armor of Christ, and we act like the worrier and the nurser and the rehearser and the disputer of bad news. When we surrender to Christ, we no longer wear the garments of the world, but the righteousness of Christ. Now, I will admit, it's a process. Oh, that we could come up out of that water, be totally sanctified, purified, and never go back to our old ways. Oh, but we could do that. We're human. It doesn't work that way. The devil won't lead us alone. He will remind us of our past. And as the song used to say, yeah, but we got to remind him of his future. See, it's not my past that bothers me. And Satan still reminds me of stuff 18, 20, 20, 30 years ago. And I have to remind him of my present and his future. For I am not who I was back then, nor will I be who I will be. I will grow even more, become even more sanctified as I grow in Christ, so that I'll not even be who I am today. All right. We're God's favorite children when we're in Christ. The second thing that this verse absolutely just excites me with is that when we're in Christ,